We're going to be looking at a few Psalms this morning, continuing our interest in the Psalms. And before we read, we'll be reading Psalms 3 and 4 and 13. They're all short Psalms. And Psalms 3 and 4 are found on page 448 of the Blue Pew Bible, if you're using the Blue Pew Bible, page 448. But think of this, if your parents, you remember this happening, and maybe some of you children remember doing this. But everybody's in bed, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly, boom, 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 flashes of light, and the wind is blowing, and suddenly the children are running down the hall, running into mom and dad's bedroom, saying, can we get in bed with you? We're scared. And so 2 or 3 little children climb in bed with mom and dad, and they're hugged, and they're comforted. And they're not afraid of the storm anymore. Now, mom and dad may be terrified, but they pretend, and they comfort their children. Well, I want to think of prayer, at least by the end of the sermon, somewhat in those terms. So Psalm 3, and then Psalm 4, and then Psalm 13. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 3 is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save, O my God, for you strike my enemies on their cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. Psalm 4, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God, my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And then finally, Psalm 13. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest the enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Praise God. Amen. you perhaps know, remember the words of our Lord Jesus to his disciples in John 14, verse 7. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's a context for that, but I think the application is universal to God's people, to believing Christians. And yet, how often we lack peace of mind and heart. How often we lie awake at night, fretting and worrying, fearful. How often we act out of fear rather than out of faith. Well, the Lord has great hope for Christian believers in the Psalms, even in the three short Psalms that we have read. And I keep saying Christian believers for this reason. People love to read the Psalms, who aren't really believers in Christ, but they want to find comfort in the Psalms. And the Psalms are comforting, if you forget, that these are the prayers and the praises of those the Lord has redeemed, whose sins have been forgiven because of their faith, well, now in our day, in Christ. And they're not meant to comfort those who are in unrepentant rebellion against God. The word of the Lord to those who refuse to repent of their sins and turn to him for salvation is, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord, Isaiah. So, keep that in mind as we go through. These are blessings. These are blessings that Christ conferred on those who trust in him for salvation. All right. I want you to see, first of all, the movement in the Psalms that we have read and a number of others, the movement from distress to peace. And then secondly, what's the explanation for that? And three things offered an explanation. Point two, these are prayers. We need to understand the significance of that. Third, praying brings God into our minds. And fourthly, praying brings us into the embrace of God himself. So notice the movement in the Psalms that we have read. And start by pointing out the anguish, the distress expressed in the opening of these Psalms. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no deliverance for him in God. Psalm 4, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And Psalm 13, the most poignant of the three. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? These expressions of real distress, of anguish, even of fear, we can say desperation, and to some extent, complaint. Why aren't you answering me, O Lord? Why aren't you helping me? Why am I having to pray so long? And we must not suppose that these fears and so forth are groundless. We live in a fallen world with many evils abounding all around us. And those evils can be very threatening to us. King David had real enemies who really wanted to kill him. We haven't talked about the enemies yet. We're not going to this morning, but we will. And there may be people who want to harm us in one way or another. We may be set by financial woes or the fear of financial woes or debts that we don't know how we can ever pay off. There may be family troubles that cause grief in our hearts, and we pray and pray for the individuals involved or for reconciliation among us. Or we may be diagnosed with some illness that has us awake at night, fretful over what the outcome may be. We may be concerned about the world around us, what's happening politically and so on. All of these things are real. They are real. And it's not insane to be troubled by them. And yet, in the Psalms that we have read, and in many other Psalms besides, in these Psalms, we see
the heart of the psalmist move, even in the psalm, move from anguish to confidence in the Lord and the Lord's mercies, and even to joy and thanksgiving. And so Psalm 3, we read verse 1, his distress, but then verses 5 and 6, I lay down and slept. I woke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Or in Psalm 4, we've seen the distress expressed in verse 1. But then in verses 7 and 8, you have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Quite a contrast between the beginning and the end of those psalms. And then in Psalm 13, the anguish of verses 1 and 2 is probably the most powerful expression of it, of the psalms that we've just read. But by the end of the short little psalm, the short little prayer, verses 5 and 6, I have trusted in your loving kindness and your promised love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So he ends on this note of, I know that God is going to deliver me. He's going to continue to show me the grace that he always has shown me. And I will rejoice. So what's the spiritual dynamic at work in this movement from desperation, fear, crying out to God in anguish, to calm, to peace of heart, and to thanksgiving and joy? Well, I think we want to recognize in the first place that the Psalms we have read, 3, 4, and 13, and others we could have read if we had the time, these are prayers. These are not angry complaints about God expressed to other people and to the world, but these are believers, believers in their genuine anguish, but believers who are coming to God, expressing to him their distress. And they're coming to God because they do believe that he is who he says he is. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the one who hears their prayers for Jesus' sake. And these prayers are in the Bible because the Holy Spirit inspired them to be in the Bible. And they're there to teach us that God delights to have his people come to him in prayer, even when we're thinking thoughts like the opening thoughts of these psalms. In other words, to come honest, and we've made this point before, to come honestly to God in all of our distresses, in all of our sins, to come with whatever is in our hearts, not to come with pretended piety. You know, we have the feeling we have to really try to look better than we really feel inside. But God doesn't care about that. If you are in anguish, if you are struggling with unbelief in the promises of God, and you go to God and say, God help me, I trust you fully, but you're not really trusting him fully. Well, he knows that. He knows that. And we need to come, rather, as the psalmist comes, fully honest about what is happening inside us and bring it to God. The Holy Spirit inspired these psalms to encourage us to do that. And Jesus, the eternal Son of the Father, came into this world and died on the cross and rose again and ascended into heaven and is seated at the Father's right hand as our Savior, our King, our Prophet, and our great high priest, so that sinners like us, in all of our distresses and our sins, can go to God and go to him as a father, as our father. We have that great promise of God in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. I think some of you probably know it by heart, but others don't, and it's a good verse to memorize. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Let me put that positively. We have a high priest who does sympathize with our weaknesses. One who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to Him in prayer. And in coming to Him in this way, He helps us. He helps us in our prayers. He answers our prayers. David testifies in Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Verses 17 and 18, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. What a friend we have in Jesus. Bring it all to God in prayer. Not only are these prayers, these psalms that we have read, prayers, but they are in praying, they teach us that in praying, we bring God into our minds. All right, why are we praying? Why am I praying? I'm praying because my enemies are trying to kill me and I'm in distress, that's David. I'm praying because I don't know how I'm going to pay the mounting load of debt that's upon us because of medical problems or something or other. And it troubles me all the time. I'm praying because of these things. So they're on my mind. They're on my mind when I come to God in prayer. But when I bring them to God in prayer, what happens? I am moving my focus. I'm moving my focus from what's moving me to prayer to God Himself. I'm lifting my spiritual sight from the things that are troubling my heart to the God who alone can help me. And in lifting my spiritual sight to God Himself, I bring to my memory, if I'm praying in faith and not just mouthing words as if saying prayers does something magical, but I'm really praying in faith through Jesus Christ, this brings God to my mind. It brings the attributes of God to my mind. It brings His great works to my mind. He's the mighty Creator. He is the one who sustains me in life. He is the Redeemer of sinners. He's the one who has made me His in Christ. He's the one, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. And all of these things, they come to my mind as I bring my mind in prayer to God. His faithful mercies come to my mind. And, you know, we have examples of that in the Psalms also. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Where is my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Or Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. He's going to die, and that's the end of all of his plans. And we could say today, thank God for doctors, but don't put your trust in doctors or in medicine. They are merely human creatures doing their best. But blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who is faithful forever. Well, Psalm 23. Well, we all know Psalm 23, or maybe most of us know Psalm 23. It's probably the most popular, most well-known of all the Psalms. Psalm 23 is the reason why I say you have to keep in mind when you seek comfort from the Psalms that they are comfort for those who trust in the Lord. Because I don't know how many times I've heard Psalm 23 recited as if it were kind of a magic formula to make me feel good, when the person reciting it gives no evidence of Christian faith. No evidence of having turned from sin, repented of sin, turned to the Lord for salvation. But they want the comfort of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and so on. These are blessings assured to the redeemed people of the Lord. Well, we could look at many more Psalms, but I'm looking at the clock and realizing we don't have time to look at many more Psalms. But I think that you have perhaps gotten the point. When we pray, we bring our troubles to God, and we shift our focus to God, and we bring to our mind who God is. And that has a correcting effect on our anxieties and our fears. This problem that was as big as a mountain before the infinite greatness of God is suddenly much less, because I'm seeing it in the light of God, who is so great in his power, in his love, in his faithfulness to his people. But the fourth point I want to make, and it was the one illustrated at the beginning of the service, hear me, is that prayer not only does something in our thinking, we might say, have an intellectual benefit for us, but prayer brings us into the embrace of God. Prayer is personal. Prayer is interpersonal. Prayer is interpersonal between you who trust in Christ and go to God for help through Christ and God. We are like the children. We're terrified by the storm and go running to our parents' bedroom and say, "Can we get in bed with you?" And we're hugged and we're comforted. And there is such a wonderful psalm, Psalm 131, that expresses this so beautifully. Psalm 131, where the psalmist says, and it's David again, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against its mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me." You know, the child is not yet weaned. Well, yeah, he wants his mother's breast because he's hungry. But after weaning, still want my mother's comfort. Like a weaned child resting against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. In our distress, in our anguish, in the things that just lay us low with trouble, we go to God. And we draw closer to God in intimate fellowship, like a child in its mother's arms. And, you know, if it helps you to have that picture in your mind, well, God gave it here in his word. And you can say as you pray, "Lord, I'm coming to you. I need the embrace of your love. I need the comfort only you can give." And You see, this is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that just follows automatically because we thought right thoughts or because we did the right thing, we prayed. But it's God ministering. God ministering by the Holy Spirit. God ministering for the sake of Christ. God ministering to give comfort, to strengthen our hearts, to strengthen our faith, to bring us through the difficulty. And in doing that, to teach us to trust more fully in the faithfulness of our God. Philippians chapter 4 is really true. Really true. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are before you like little children. We may sometimes think very highly of ourselves, and then circumstances come that remind us how weak, how small, how lacking in understanding we are, how greatly we need the help that only you can give. And so we thank you for the gift, the privilege of prayer which Jesus bought for us when he died on the cross and rose again. And we thank you for the mighty comfort that your Holy Spirit gives to your people when we come to you and like a weaned child rests in its mother's arms, we seek your comfort and rest in the promises of your word and the assurances of your grace, in your Father's love, in our Savior's sure and certain redeeming work. And so, Lord, grant that this may be your blessing to each of us here, that we, reading these Psalms, taking these words to heart, may find the same things true for us as we come to you in our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.